I mean that not everybody here has sinned like I have, maybe. And some people like Grandma Karecha and she's probably the only one, but have lived just a perfect life, you know. And I know a few of her kids haven't lived a perfect life, but God's grace is sufficient anyhow. But when I went to college, and I backslid and got into the party lifestyle. I was playing baseball in college. Some of you know some of my testimony, and I was playing baseball and got into the party life. And we had an excuse for every night of the week to go to a club or go something, go party and dancing and singing and shouting. I mean, every night of the week. Well, it's Monday, you got to go party your Mondays away, you know. And it's Tuesday, it's booze day, it's Wednesday, you know. You're just halfway to Friday, so might as well party. I mean, every night of the week, it was crazy, it was ridiculous. And I spent just a few months in that season of life. And man, when I get in a service like this, what convicts me is I think of how I used to give myself to the world and how I used to party for the world and I used to party for music and party for drugs and alcohol. And man, I'd party till the sun came up. And then sometimes I come into church and I'm a little tired and I'm looking at my watch thinking, how much longer is this going to go? And then I think of how I used to act for the world. And I think if I could act crazy for the world, I could at least act is half crazy for God. And y'all have heard me quote the scripture. I'll preach in a second. But y'all have heard me quote the scripture 1,000 times because I do it at my altar calls when I give instruction. I say, Paul said concerning the gifts of the Spirit, he said, let everything be done decently and in order, right? But I just got a question. When's the last time that you made your pastor get up here and say, whoa, 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 whoa? That's enough praising right there. That's just too much Holy Ghost. When's the last time you've seen a preacher have to get up in a pulpit and try to calm us down? I don't know if I've ever been in a service where it got so hot that the preacher had to calm us down. We don't need to use that verse as a crutch. I think we need to go crazy and make Brother Linder get in this pulpit and say, that's enough dancing. That's enough shouting. That's... Whoa! Hallelujah. Woo! Jesus. Matthew 24 and verse 4. Matthew 24 and verse 4. I have saved this word for this night because I knew not everybody would be here. And this is for whoever is here tonight. This is a prophetic word from God. And I want everybody to hear this word. I want you to get it in your heart. I want you to eat this word. Something's going to happen tonight. As a result of the word of God, for faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't have to do with me, the man that's preaching, and it has to do with this is the word of God. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. Somebody say, don't be deceived. For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Watch this. See that you be not troubled. Somebody say, don't be afraid. Say, don't be deceived and don't be afraid. He says, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. I got one sermon and two titles, and I might not get through half of it, and that's totally fine with me. My first title is this. This is not the end. This is not the end. Would you just lift up your hands one more time and release that power that's inside of you? God gave it to you for a reason and a purpose. And I think that number one reason is to glorify His name together. Lord, we love You and we praise You. We exalt Your name. For if You be lifted up, You shall draw all men unto You. We glorify that name and we ask You to demonstrate the power of Your name in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody shout, this is not the end. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. This is not the end. I do want to give honor very quickly to this church and all the volunteers and ministry, and especially this worship team. And we call them the worship team. I think the whole church is the worship team, you know, but we're all supposed to worship, but they lead us in worship. And I told the Linders this afternoon, I said, man, I went in the bathroom during church this morning. I said, well, they got a pretty good CD playing in this bathroom. And then I realized, wait a second, this is live. This is going on in the sanctuary right now. I thought, this is good as a professional album or something, man. Do you realize what you've got at Heaven View Apostolic Church? Man, I mean, you feel the talent, you hear the talent, you walk in, you feel the anointing of God. I just wish I could put this worship team in my pocket and take them with me in Jesus' name. Man, I'd have some big time revival if I had them. Ain't fair the pastors get all the team, you know. Amen. I rebuke that spirit. Amen. How many of you have ever been concerned, not in a fearful way, but concerned or thoughtful, provoked to the things of the end times? You've ever thought, what is the end going to be like? What is heaven going to be like? Anybody ever thought about heaven? What's heaven going to be like? How big is my mansion going to be? Man, if I outpraise Ray, I might have a bigger mansion than he's got. I don't know. And what is a mansion in heaven? Is it 50,000 square feet, 100,000 square feet? I mean, what is a mansion in heaven? And what are streets of gold? Is it really gold in streets? I mean, what is a gate of pearl anyways? And how big is the oyster that produced the pearl? And what are walls of jasper? And I had one girl in one of our classes at Urson Graduate School of Theology, and in an eschatology class, it's just a fancy word for the study of last things. And this girl raised her hand, and she comes from a different culture, from another country, and her language is different, you know, and the way she interprets scripture sometimes can be just a little bit different than the way we see it because of her language barrier. And she said, I don't understand. I feel like heaven's going to be boring. Everybody kind of looked at her and said, what are you talking about, boring? We're going to ride you out on a rail, man. What's going on, boring heaven? She says, well, the Bible speaks of we're just going to stand around the throne for all of eternity and praise God every day. I mean, ain't that going to get boring after a while? The professor kind of just laughed it off and he said, well, we don't really understand because we're finite. We are measured. I spoke about it just for a second this morning that the Bible speaks of God's government and His peace. And it says that of the increase of who He is, there is no end. So if there's a Monday, that means if you experience an amount of His glory on Monday, you can get twice as much on Tuesday. And on Wednesday, you can get twice as much you had on Tuesday. And on Thursday, you can get a multiply fold of that. Because of the increase, there is no end. We can't truly fathom the end times, and we cannot wrap our head around the end times, and that's why people sit around and debate, and they argue, negotiate about the end times, and when God's going to come back, and when He's going to call His church home, and people debate about different things concerning the end times. One of the most highly debated principles or key concepts of the end times is, are we going to be raptured before the tribulation, or during the tribulation, or after the tribulation, pre, mid, or post trib? But really, it doesn't all matter. Some people say, I'm pan trib. God will just pan it out in the end, you know. And it really doesn't matter as long as I'm caught up to meet Jesus in the end. Amen. And Jesus was asked several times about time. And he was always asked about time. And when are you going to do this, Jesus? And when are you going to do that, Jesus? And they had asked him, when are you going to restore to us the kingdom and overthrow the Roman Empire? And when are these things going to happen? In Jesus' last conversation with his disciples, he had talked to them about the Holy Ghost and what he was going to do. And they say, well, when is this going to happen? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the season that this is going to take place. He just said, you better hear me loud and clear, that regardless of the times, he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I'm going to echo a little bit my sermon from Wednesday night. If you were here, you'll understand what I mean when I say that. But Jesus, he began to teach them about some times and about the end times. And he began to tell them in Matthew 24 what to look for concerning the end times. How many of you believe that we truly are in the last days? And a lot of us believe that, unfortunately, because of bad news. We look at the bad things that are going on, and we look at the wars and rumors of wars, and we believe that that is pointing to the end times. But Jesus said in verse 4 of Matthew 24, he said, firstly, I want you to know, don't let anybody deceive you. Don't let anybody manipulate you. There will be many people in this life who come saying they are the Christ. They will come in my name and say, they know the time and the hour that I'm going to come back. They'll come up with 88 reasons why I'm going to come back in 1988. And they're going to say I'm coming back because of the Mayan calendar. And they're going to try to lie to you and make you afraid and use scare tactics. They're going to try to manipulate you with fancy rhetoric and persuasion. He said, but do not let anybody deceive you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. If you'd follow along with me on the screen in verse 5, he says, many will come along saying that I am the Christ, and they will deceive many. The second thing he told the church, and I'm telling you this, Heaven View, for a reason. Number one, he said, do not be deceived. Do not be manipulated. Don't listen to anything else but my word. There's a reason Jesus said that. How many books, how many denominational books and creeds and different principles and things that people have written, coming up with things that are so close to the truth, but yet they are in error. He said, do not believe anything but my word. The second thing in verse 6, he says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. We're not only hearing them, we are seeing them on our front doorstep. He said, but when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that you be not troubled. I really want you to just let this sink in for a second before I preach the rest of this, Lord willing. Do not be deceived. And secondly, do not be afraid. It would be the devil's greatest warfare or his greatest delight to trouble the church, to make us afraid, to put fear in our worship, to put fear in our praise. I go to Canada and I go to other countries, and I've gotten to other countries, and missionaries have prepped me as I've arrived, driving back from the airport to the hotel, and they said, you know, Brother Green, we've seen some of your preaching, and we just kind of want to let you know that there's some things that you might not want to say here in this country, because we're not as kind as in America, and we have this political correctness in our society. We're not even allowed to play Christian music in public, because if you play Christian music in public, it's very offensive to anybody that does not believe in Christ. And he said, so I just want to let you know, I've had a few missionaries tell me, you might just want to be careful with how you say certain things. Isn't it amazing that the spirit of fear would love to silence the preached word? He would love to silence the truth. He would love to silence your witness. He would love to silence your praise. I remember hearing stories of the Pentecostals being known as the Holy Rollers. And I wasn't raised in a united Pentecostal church, but we did have a crazy church. We had people that ran the aisles and all sorts of things like that. But I remember one day hearing this reference of Holy Rollers, and I asked my dad, I said, what in God's name is a Holy Roller? He said, well, back in my day, we'd have 8 weeks, 9 weeks, 12 weeks of revival without a night off. Imagine that revival. Woo, you bitter at Brother Linder for just an extra service on Sunday night. You could be out shopping for those turkey pants, you know. I seen they came out with turkey pants, got elastic in the waistband, so you can eat more. I'm going to pick me up some tomorrow. You better believe it. But he said we'd have 12 weeks of revival without a night off. And he said we come sometimes and it would be a dead service. And all of a sudden, sister so-and-so and maybe a brother so-and-so, they take off just rolling down the floor and rolling up and down the aisles. And see, what they would say is, I don't care what we have to do to get a move of God. We're going to do it. If I've got to roll on the floor, if I've got to stand... if I've got to stand on top of my head, if I've got to worship without my dignity and reputation, if I got to loosen my tie and kick off my high heels, I'm going to get a move of God, because we are in the last days and we've got to have a demonstration of the Holy Ghost. I just think we need to have the mind and attitude of Paul, who said, when I came to you, I didn't come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He said, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And when I was with you, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in trembling. He said, but my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Just get uncomfortable for a second and clap your hands with all of your might. I know I can preach this with liberty here, because you'll believe this. You already believe this, that because we are in the last hours, we are in the last days, Brother Ray, before I finish preaching, that trumpet could sound and we could go home tonight. So because we are in the last hours, we've got to come up with a demonstration of the Holy Ghost. We've got to make up our minds that every service, we've got to have a move of God. We've got to have a move of God. And I'll tell you this, you can't have a move of God by accident. You can't have a move of God because I put my tie on straight. You can't have a move of God just because we sing like a professional album. You can't have a move of God just because you got a good preacher. You have a move of God when somebody busts out of the box of your tradition and complacency and comfort and says, whatever I've got to do. Let me just tell y'all something. I'm off my notes now. This ain't on TV or anything, right? Tonight, my brother, and his, go online, that's fine. This ain't a lie. But he is a pastor, a youth pastor, at a church that doesn't have the truth. He's a youth pastor of 300 people, 300 kids, 300 teenagers. He had me come, his kind of the first service he was put in, installed as a youth pastor. He said, I want you to come. We're going to have a youth service. And I went just to support him a couple years ago, and I remember walking into this magnificent youth sanctuary, man. It was almost as big as this right here, and they had these screens from wall to wall. It was amazing. And one of the dudes who went up there to start the service off, you know, and he said, "All right, I want all the kids to gather together. We're going to start the service." And boom, they started the service with a music video of a pop star from Hollywood named Katy Perry. And she started singing some ungodly song. And I don't even know what the song was, but they had this music video of this ungodly girl. I mean, her first famous song was "I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It." That was how she got famous. And she's singing this song, and I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but I'm just going to get to a point here very quickly. They played this music video of an ungodly person that worships the world and doesn't have any godliness in her life, and they didn't have a move of God. These kids, they were jumping and shouting and going crazy while Katy Perry was singing, but when the music started, the worship service started, they went back and sat down. And when the preacher, my brother, went up and he preached, and they had an altar call, about two kids came down and prayed for about 5 minutes, and we got in the car to go get a hamburger after the service, and my brother was just so frustrated, and he said, "Man, I'm so embarrassed that you had to see that. I know that we didn't have a move of God." And he said, "I'm frustrated because there hasn't been a move of God in these youth services." He said, "God just doesn't move here like he used to when I was in youth." And he said, "I don't know what the problem is." I said, "Well, let me just speak candidly. You're my brother." I said, "You will never have an upper room experience without an upper room mentality." He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "You started your service with the spirit of the devil, with the spirit of the world, and then wondered why the spirit of God didn't come in. That's never going to happen. You can't have an accidental move of God in the upper room." They fasted and prayed for 10 days. They sought the face of God. And all of a sudden, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in agreement. They were in the same place. They were praying in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Well, I wish Heaven View would just lift up your hands and lift up your voice and say, "God, whatever we've got to do, we're going to have a move of God." Right now, in the name of Jesus, I command every spirit of fear to get out of this church, to get out of everybody's mind, to get out of everybody's home, to get out of every child and every marriage. We will not be deceived, and we will not be afraid. We will have a move of God. I don't care what the persecution may be. I don't care what the crucifixion may be. I don't care what the opposition may be. We will have a move of God. Y'all just listen for a second. I'm out there now. You just do what you feel to do. I went to one church a few years ago, and man, this is over here on the East Coast, and this pastor invited me over. He said, "We're going to have 5 nights of revival." And I said, "All right." We got up that first night. I mean, it was dead. I mean, everybody was dead, falling asleep, picking their nose. There was nothing going on. And I said, "What was that all about, Pastor?" He said, "Well, this church, this building is over 150 years old. He said, "In fact, it's one of the longest standing church buildings in North America, here in the States, over here on the East Coast. It's over, well, I'm not going to tell you where it is." And so I said, "Well, look, you've got some spirits of false doctrine in this church, not because of you and your people, but because of the foundation of this church." I said, "We need to pray. We need to pray in every room of this building so that we can have a move of God. We need to get rid of every spirit of false doctrine in this building, every spirit of fear in this building, every spirit of witchcraft
in this building so that we can have a move of God. We started in the basement. He said, we're going to go all the way to the bottom and work our way up. We went down to the basement. It was cold. It was wet. We got there on that concrete floor. We had about 10 of us, about 10 people on that day. It was early that morning, and we just started praying. And I stood at one edge like this, and I said, God, you told us that angels are ministering spirits unto the heirs of salvation, that these angels can carry your presence and carry your glory. God, I pray right now that you just send forth a hedge of angels to get rid of every demonic spirit in this building right now. And I'm telling you the truth. I didn't see a one of them, but all of a sudden, you could feel several angels march through the left wall right here. One by one, just boom, boom, boom. I opened my eyes, man. I was squinting trying to see them. But I tell you, it's like the wind. I didn't see the wind, but I saw the leaves blowing. Watch what happened. As those angels started marching through that left wall, the 10 people that surrounded that room from left to right, as the angels marched in from left to right, they started going down, speaking in tongues, going down, speaking in tongues, going down, speaking in tongues. Every one of them was on their face for over an hour, just travailing in the Holy Ghost as those angels of the Lord marched into that place. By that service that night, we had 10 people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We had a revival. We had a move of God. I'm going to jump through all this. I'm not going to go through my notes. I'm just going to point to something in the scripture very quickly. I want Heaven View to get this very quickly. You pull that scripture back up here in verse 6, and you go down to verse 7, and Jesus begins to teach, and he begins to tell us, and he begins to prophesy about what things will happen in verse 7. He says, nation will rise against nation. That's happening now. He says, in kingdom against kingdom, happening now. And there will be famines, that's happening now. And pestilences, which are diseases and viruses. He said, in earthquakes in diverse places, that's happening now. He said, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then, oh God, here it comes now. He then speaks to us. He points his finger at the church. He says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations. For my name's sake. This has been going on since the beginning of time. We're seeing it today. Just in Sutherland Springs, Texas, right outside of San Antonio. I'm preaching in San Antonio next Sunday, which is just a few minutes away from this church in Sutherland Springs, where a man walked in with a gun and killed 26 people dead and wounded 20 more of them. I read one story that when some of the volunteer fire department and the police officers and some of these people that walked in, these first responders, they walked in, they found people lying on their children. There's children crying, but the parents dead, laying on their children. There was a story of an elderly lady. She was laying on her grandchild, and there was another lady sitting next to her who was laying down under the pews, and the elderly lady was saying to her, just be quiet. We're going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And that man came in and started killing people. And I don't want to get too graphic tonight, but what happened was, is that lady, that elderly lady, was laying over her grandchild. She was telling her grandchild and the lady next to her, they were crying, saying, we're going to die. We're going to die. And she started whispering to them. She started saying, ain't it going to be great? Ain't it going to be great? In just a few minutes, we're going to see Jesus. In just a few minutes, we're going to be in heaven. In just a few more seconds, we're going to walk down streets of gold where there is no murder and there is no death and there is no hatred and there is no racism and anger. Woo. Jesus prophesied and said, The affliction will not just be nation against nation, but it will be against the church. They will afflict you. They will kill you. They will hate you for my name's sake. He said, many shall be offended, verse 10, and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Somebody say, this is not the end. Remember, he said, don't be deceived. This is not the end. Remember, he said, don't be afraid. This is not the end. When they rise in your midst and lift you up to be afflicted, and they persecute you and they kill you and they hate you, this is not the end. When your own nation, your own government, your own governmental policies come against your religious faith and beliefs in the doctrine of God, this is not the end. When hurricanes flood South Texas, and hurricanes destroy the state of Florida, and wildfires ravage through Tennessee and Oregon and California like it's happened in the last few months, and 59 people die in Las Vegas because of a shooting, this is not the end. The bad news is not the end. The persecution is not the end. The terrorist attacks are not the end. The hatred is not the end. Well, I want to bring it home. And your brokenness is not the end. And your despair is not the end. And your loneliness is not the end. And your depression is not the end. And your addiction is not the end. This is not... I've told y'all stories before of my trip to Malawi last year. This year we went again, and we saw 3,010 people receive the Holy Ghost. We saw over 50 blind people healed instantaneously, 46 deaf people healed instantaneously. We saw crippled people healed instantaneously. When the services weren't going like we wanted it to, there was confusion, all sorts of mess going on. Brother Robinette said, you know what we need to have to break this spirit of confusion? A giving service. A giving service. These people, their life expectancy is 37 years old. I mean, they don't have anything. Most of them don't have shoes. And he said, oh, we're going to have a giving service. And we had a giving service, and you saw in that giving service people with one shirt on. This might offend somebody. They'd take their shirt off and say, this is all I got. They'd put it on the altar. They'd take off their sandals and say, this is all I got, and put it on the altar. They'd take out a one kwacha bill, which is less than a penny in a U.S. dollar. They'd put it on the altar. And I mean, they just did everything they knew to do. They just gave it at the altar in that giving service. And all of a sudden, you could feel a tangible, rushing, mighty wind that filled that crusade ground. People started receiving the Holy Ghost. People started being healed in Jesus' name. And when we thought the service was over, we were about to walk off the platform, and all of a sudden, this lady comes running up, and she tells the superintendent, Brother Magundo. She starts talking to him, and he pulls her up on the platform. And I gave him a video, and let's just see if it'll play. Don't worry about understanding what she's saying. I'll interpret it for you. If they can play this video, let's see if it works. Right now, she's saying, several years ago, I received a disease that the doctor said would kill me. It started in my stomach and it spread throughout my body. She said, and it caused me to completely go deaf and dumb and mute. I could not speak for the last 4 or 5 years. I've been deaf for 4 or 5 years. She said, but when I walked up to the altar, I gave every last penny that I've got. She said, instantaneously, See, there she is speaking. She said, instantaneously, God filled me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. She said, and for the first time in 4 or 5 years, she said, I could hear again, and I began to speak again. She said, and when I spoke, I began to speak in other tongues. After that giving service, Brother Linder, we were so determined. We're going to have people get the Holy Ghost. And we had been praying, God, we want to see 3,000 this year get the Holy Ghost. We've never seen it happen in Malawi, 3,000 people get the Holy Ghost. And we were praying, and we were in the hotel room, and I began to read this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 24. And God, he begins to prophesy. Jesus is prophesying about what is not the end. And then he says in one verse, see, he takes all these verses to tell you this is not the end, but he takes one verse to tell you what the end is going to be. In verse 14, this is what Jesus says. He says, and this gospel, somebody say this gospel. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I'd like to present to you my second title now, if you don't mind. My second title is this: this is the end. It's not the news. It's not the bad news. It's not the persecution. It's not the wars. It's not the earthquakes. It is the word of God. God said, every nation, every tribe, every culture, every country, this whole world is going to hear the gospel of salvation. And then this is the end. So, Heaven View Church, I just want you might not be able to see this video, but this happened one night after that giving service. I want you to hear the sound. They're going to crank it up. I want you to hear the sound of what the end sounds like. I'm praying the prayer of faith just like I do in this church. I command you to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And here they go. Just listen. That's the sound of over 1,000 people receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you what else that is. That's the sound of the coming of the Lord. That's the sound of the end times. That's the sound. That is the sound of the church being called away to meet Jesus in the air. This is the end. Most of them without homes. None of them have cars. Most of them without even a pair of sandals. But they gave everything they've got. And that was the result. Over 1,000 in that service receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Brother Linder, you just hear this word. This church, hear this word. That's the sound. I want this church to get ready to hear. This church is so accustomed to hearing great worship and great preaching and great teaching. anointing and great prayers in the prayer room. This church is used to hearing great anointing. This church is used to hearing those things. But I want you to get your ears ready. I want you to get your heart ready. I want you to get your spirit ready, that you're not just going to hear good preaching. You're not just going to hear good teaching, but you are going to hear the sound of the end times. I want you to get ready to hear every soul in Winston-Salem receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. You hear me for a second? You just hear me for 1 second and I'm through. This church right here, this church right here, this church, Heaven View Church, you have more anointed preaching than what we had at Malawi. You've got more anointed worship leading in this church. You've got more anointed ministers and leaders and prayer warriors. I told your pastor at lunch today, I said, the move of God that happens every time at this church, it is uncanny. It does not happen everywhere. The free liberty that God has to move in every service. I mean, every service, God just moves like he wants to move. It happens every service in this place. You hear me right now? That Malawi Crusade Grounds, we had the worst music money could buy, man. We didn't have good preachers. I was one of them. We didn't have the most anointed ministers. In fact, I think this church might have more ministers than all of Malawi has. But let me tell you two things that God told me that the people in Malawi have that I don't have. I prayed with conviction when I came back and I said, God, I'm desperate to see it in Texas, in America, in North Carolina, in California. I'm desperate to see it there. I said, why are we not seeing it in that capacity? God said, there's two things that are stopping my people, the American church. He said, number one, he said, they do not sacrifice like the people in Malawi sacrifice. They literally give it all. They give until they give it all. You see, I budget my giving and I afford. I give what I can afford and I can budget. That's not sacrifice. But sacrificial giving is giving until you don't have. Just a couple years ago, I told the story here that God told my wife for us to give $10,000 when we've got debt. And we finally did it months later, and God has blessed our marriage and our life and our ministry like we've never seen before. And just this general conference, as Brother Robinette was preaching at this American general conference, he said, whatever you came with a number in your mind to give, you need to double it. He said, I prophesy that anybody that doubles their giving, God is going to double his anointing upon you. Now, I'll just tell you the truth. I went there saying I ain't giving a penny. I gave $10,000 2 years ago. That ought to hold me off for a few years. But God said, if you'll double, I will double. My wife and I, we wrote another $10,000 check to global missions. It's not because I'm anointed or I'm great. I have nothing. I am nothing. But I truly believe that if I give it all, God will give it all to me. The second thing that God said that we don't do, that I don't do, God said, when the people in Malawi worship and they seek me, he said, they worship to put their attention on me. He said, but you worship to put my attention on you. I come and I say, God, look at me. Bless me, touch me, heal me, deliver me, give me the promotion, give me the job, give me direction, give me power, give me deliverance, give me direction. And God says, if you would just seek me and put your attention on me, I will supply all of your needs according to your riches in glory. I am not this candid in other churches. And the reason why I'm this candid in Heaven View, it's not because you're backslidden or lost. It's because you're on the right track. See, churches that don't have it at all, I'm afraid to tell them because they might ridicule me and persecute me. But I've come to tell you at Heaven View Church, you've got it. You've got the vision. You've got the word. You've got the direction. You're on the right path. Now don't turn back, but go a little further, go a little higher, go a little deeper. You've got it. You've got it. You've got it. I can see an apostolic church right now. I can see an apostolic church on this street that you're going to see thousands of people receiving the Holy Ghost. It's not going to be because of a great preacher, but it's going to be because of a great church. It's not going to be one man or one woman laying their hands on them, but we're going to have young, we're going to have old, we're going to have everybody laying their hands on the lost soul in this city, praying them through to the Holy Ghost. This is the last days. And God said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He needs a vessel to be poured through. He needs a vessel to pour his spirit through. He needs a vessel to pour his power through. He needs a vessel whose hands, whose mouth, whose feet he can use. If you want to be that vessel, I want you to come to this altar right now. Not grumbling, not complaining, but coming with a sense of determination and worship, rejoicing, saying, God, we shall see it in this day. We shall see it in this church. We shall see it in this hour. I will be used. I will be used.